What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 432, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast, you know, keeps us afloat. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, just getting prepped up for CES next week.
I know, and you are under the weather. You're better by CES. That's the worst thing, is getting a cold right before CES. I've always gotten a cold at the tail end of CES.
Last year I started feeling sick like the last day, and I remember my flight home, like the pressure in the plane and everything, and landing was like just horrible. But this year it's hopefully ahead of it and be done.
Yeah, we got some people in the chat already. We have Old Man in the chat, and we have Corey in the chat. Good to see you guys here. We haven't had a podcast in 2 weeks, a little over two weeks, because of Christmas and then New Year's. So how was your Christmas? How was your New Year's?
Christmas was good. It was busy. We had a lot going on. Hosted a couple family things. New Year was like super low key, because that's when I started feeling bad. It was like the afternoon of New Year's Eve, and like we had made plans for that evening earlier in the day, and like reserved some tickets for our family, and like already had money put into it, so we're like, all right, we'll go for a while. And I just like went downhill that night, and so other than that, it was great. How about you?
I mean, New Year's was definitely really low key. Christmas, it's kind of like the same thing, just real chill, real low key. I'm always real busy this time of year because it's trying to get the rest of the content out for the end of the year, and then kind of prepping for CES, which is, if you guys would see our schedule, it's kind of wild. But we'll definitely get into all of that in this episode. We're going to be talking about two reviews that I did this week, two different products, a mouse and an AIO. And I'm not Ryan, and I did an AIO review. We're also going to go over the best case mods of 2024. I did a little roundup of my favorite ones that we featured this year, so we'll have that. And then we have all of the new leaks on the Radeon RX 9000 series, as well as NVIDIA RTX 50 series. Like, everything has come out since our last podcast, pretty much. And some really interesting things there as well. Also, a little tidbit of news about Nintendo Switch. And we have an interesting question. I will be kind of interested to see what Ryan says of our question of the week. So we're going to jump into everything. Now, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about. You can see it right here. If you want to go ahead and follow along, or if you hear something that we talk about and you want more information, everything that we talk about is going to be linked here. So it's all right in there. So let's go ahead and jump right in. And I don't have it, because I actually packed it away for CES, which is kind of funny. I packed it as a backup mouse. It's not going to be my main mouse.
Okay.
It was not good enough to replace the Razer. Just say that. Sure. So I took a look at a mouse from Logitech, and I actually haven't reviewed a Logitech mouse in what seems like forever.
We don't get a lot of their products in, it feels like.
Yeah. I also just like haven't spent a whole lot of time with Logitech mice recently. So this is kind of like a new mouse to me, but for a lot of people, the Pro X Superlight 2 Dex, which is a real product name, it's not necessarily a new product, because it's essentially the Superlight 2 with a different shape, a more ergonomic shape to it. Not a whole lot of different tech inside, you know. And I think that's why a lot of people are really upset with Logitech as they currently stand, is because they're not very future focused when it comes to their product releases. Especially like we saw it with the Pro X 60 keyboard. Everybody was doing magnetic switches. They still had mechanical switches. There was just like a lot of stuff. It was just like, it didn't feel like a future focused product. And I don't think this is either, because the Superlight 2 came out in 2023. This came out at the end of 2024, which is a year later. And essentially the only thing that has changed is the shape. And the shape, actually do like, so the shape of the mouse is quite interesting, because towards the front it seems like an asymmetrical mouse. But then as you get to the back, it has a more ergo shape. It really fits to your hand quite well and feels very, very comfortable. That said, because it's a lightweight mouse, it does feel just, it kind of feels cheap, right? Like in your hand, because it is quite light overall, and just feels a little plasticky. Now, if you want to get that plasticky feel out, they do provide grips if you want to add grips. I know you're a grip person, Ryan. They do provide grips if you want to use those. And this gives you an idea of like the front curvature. They do use magnetic switches in here. You have type C for charging. You can get up to 8,000 hertz pulling rate on this wirelessly. The side has these two side buttons, which again are the same from the Superlight 2, exact same. And the feet are also the exact same from the Superlight 2. And the reason I keep saying the exact same is because, at least in my research, because I never took a look at a Superlight 2, everybody hated the feet and everybody hated the side buttons. The side buttons are very mushy and they go into the, they stick out and they go into the mouse a lot. They just like don't feel good.
Wow.
I mean, they're not bad, but they don't feel as good as like the ones here on my Razer mouse. Like they just don't. And the feet, I mean, just looking at the feet, like this massive mouse,
that's pretty big,
huge. And this doesn't glide as well as my Razer mouse or other mice. It just doesn't. And from every video and every review I watched on the Superlight 2, everybody said that these sucked and everybody replaced them with aftermarket mouse gates. They just did. So a year later, this mouse comes out and you would expect them to take feedback from the community and be like,
yeah, you'd hope so.
We fixed this. We fixed this issue. Nope. It's the same mouse with a different shape. And that's why I think people are pissed at Logitech. It is a good mouse and it's very comfortable and I actually like it. I would probably, if it was going to be my daily driver, I would replace these mouse feet at least. No issues with communication. The sensor is great. It is a 44,000 DPI sensor. Tracking at 888 IPS, you know, it's our Hero 2 sensor, same one that's in the Superlight 2. No problem with connectivity, no problem with anything else. The dongle's fine. There's like no issues. And it is a good mouse and it's one that I would use, but it's the same as the Superlight 2 with a different shape. And it's a year later and there were so many issues, not issues, but people complained about the feet. People complained about the side buttons. Nothing was necessarily really changed on that front. And it's $160.
Good Lord.
It's very expensive for what it is. The Razer, this is the Death Adder V3, which again is a more of an ergo mouse as well. This can be had, I think, for $100. If this mouse was $100, it would be a good buy, I think, because it's a $100 mouse. It's a good mouse. It has good tech. It's very comfortable, but it's just not as good as the Razer. It's just not. And Razer, from like the Death Adder V2 to the V3, or even from the Vipers to the new Death Adder, they made changes. They took feedback and they made changes. Whereas Logitech is keeping this same kind of like, oh, we're not going to change anything except for the shape to make it more of an ergo mouse. I don't know. I gave it a 7 out of 10. It's too expensive. And it would be nice to see Logitech take feedback and make the change. And again, it's not just like a couple people, like literally every review that I read, because I had to do my research on the Superlight 2, everybody hated the mouse feet. Not a single person liked them. And I read like 10 reviews and I watched like 10 YouTube videos. So
well, and when you personally have like multiple mice there that you can easily compare it to, right? Like get another one out of the drawer or wherever you got them, right? Compare it 1 to 1 to 1 to 1. And like, if that one doesn't move as well, that means those previous comments from the previous version were valid and they didn't do anything. So like that, that's pretty bad that you don't listen to your customer base like that.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I think a lot of people are really upset with Logitech because Logitech was the GOAT. They were the like the G502s and some of the other mice that they are known for, and people like they're diehard fans of those mice. Logitech hasn't released a whole lot of mice. I think like three in the past like 4 years or so, like not a lot. And there's not a whole lot of change in innovation and, again, taking the customer feedback. So like I said, it's a good mouse. It's just too expensive, and the feet just suck on it. But like I said, if it was $100, I would say if you like the shape and you like the feel of it, you could definitely buy it. But it's $160. It's way too expensive. But check out the review if you are interested there. Lauren in the chat said, was never a fan of the Super Light. Always had tracking issues after a few months despite proper cleaning and updates. Yeah, I mean, people did talk about, I don't use the center, like the mouse click or the scroll wheel click. Some people did complain about that. I didn't see that issue because I don't really use that in my gaming. Like the click on the scroll wheel, they had a lot of issues with too, but I didn't have any. And I didn't have any tracking issues on mine. But again, I only tested it for a few weeks, so not.
Yeah, that would be a function I would need because I use that middle mouse click for like in Apex to like ping things.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think it's when people held it down. So in certain games, people hold it down to move the move the camera.
Sure.
Around. And that was the thing that they complained about. But moving on from there. I pulled Orion and I reviewed an AIO.
Well, let's see it.
Yeah, so Asus sent over their Ryogen 3 360 ARGB Extreme. Now, Ryan reviewed the Ryogen 3 360 ARGB. This is the Extreme version. And it looks essentially the same. You wouldn't know the difference, to be honest. But it does have some changes. One of the big changes is the fans. The fans have been completely redesigned here. And the cold plate has been re-engineered for the hot zones of Intel's new Core Ultra processors. So that's why they're calling this one the Extreme. They did ship this with our review kit for the Core Ultra. So that's why I'm reviewing it. Ryan's not. Because it's here. I have it here. But Brian, you reviewed this. It's a solid AIO in general. 30 millimeter thick radiator. Yep. Now the Extreme is only available in black. Ryan reviewed the white, I like the white when it comes to PC hardware, but this is only available in black. And you can see pre-applied. I don't like it.
You don't like pre-applied thermal paste?
No, especially on an Extreme product. It's targeted towards an enthusiast. That's just me. This makes it so much easier for so many people, and I get that. But for me,
I don't mind it as long as they include a tube of paste in addition to. But
okay, yeah. This is the 480p screen on here. It looks great. The whole assembly looks great. You can take it apart, and there's a built-in fan in there as well. Again, same thing on the normal Ryogen 3. But we come to the fans, and the fans have been redesigned. One, I don't know if yours did this. Did yours have the idle mode where they completely turn off?
I don't think that they had the idle mode, no.
So just like a GPU fan, if it's idle, the fans will actually turn off, which is kind of crazy for a CPU cooler, but they will turn off. They've also been made thicker now. So instead of being 25 millimeters, they're now 30 millimeters. The motor has been upgraded from a single phase four pole design to a three phase six pole design. And the blade design has been changed as well. So instead of seven blades, you now have nine blades and a three section blade design. So completely redesigned fans, and they're definitely more efficient. That's again why they're calling this the Extreme. And just like in Ryan's review, these are so easy to put together because they're magnetized and they have the pogo style connections right here on the side. So it just makes installation so easy. And it's a single connection coming out here, a single plug that goes into your fan control three pin and then, or fan power three pin, and then your ARGB for the fans as well. So super simple. And I'll show you that here on the next page. But that's sort of like the main changes here. And it's just, like I said, overall, it's essentially the same, just the fans are better in the cold plate. So if you are looking for a cooler for a three or for a Core Ultra, this might be the one. And then I did install it on a radiator mounts, which I love these radiator mounts. They're perfect for test bench. And you can see like the three fans, they just snap together so easily. And you have a single connector coming off those fans. There's that single connector. And it just makes things so much easier. Super easy to get this installed. I installed it on test bench, so no real issues there. And when it comes to the software, it's all done through the Armory Crate. You get some options as far as adding, image or animation, and you can use your own image or animation, and it can be a JPEG, a GIF, or an MP4. So you can have that playing. You can set it to be a hardware monitor if you want to. The hardware monitor, so you can display different things there, and they have some options. And you can do single info. I think you can go do up to triple info on it. So that's really nice. And then you can do like time and date and all that kind of stuff. So the screen is really nice. It looks awesome sitting there. And then you can set up your fan control within Armory Crate and do your curves and all that kind of stuff for both the embedded fans and the pump itself. And you do get a free copy. I forgot to mention this when I first posted this review, but you get a 1-year license of ADA 64 Extreme Edition, which is like a $60 value.
It's good value.
Which is a kind of nice add-on. People don't think about that. But the Extreme Edition does allow you to output those sensors to like a display screen if you wanted to. So if you were planning like to add another screen to your system and you want the ADA 64 integration, you need the Engineer or Extreme Edition to do it. So you get that there, which is nice. Here's some shots of what it looks like. I do think it looks awesome, especially if you're matching it with another ROG product, which I have the Maximus Hero there, which looks great. But there you can see there's three things that I'm showing here. So package, GPU, and embedded fan there. So yeah, like I said, it looks absolutely amazing. The fans look great too. ARGB fans, you can control all of that with Aura Sync. As far as performance, I don't have anything to compare because I don't have any other AIOs. I'm not Ryan. But it did perform quite well in my testing. So if we look at idle temperature, 36 degrees, our first load, which is just ADA 64 with just the CPU package, enabled, that's only 60 degrees. And then full load with both FPU and CPU selected in ADA 64 is 72 degrees. So very, very good performance there. And even if you're fully pumping out your CPU, it's not necessarily all that loud either. So I think it's an excellent CPU cooler. It's just expensive. And I know, Ryan, you talked about that as well. It's $349.99. Which is decently expensive for a 360 millimeter AIO. Now we're, like I said, even ones with screens, you can get, I don't know, what's the average price for one with a screen?
I think you're right around like the $229 to $259 probably.
Yeah.
Usually on like a 360. I mean, the nice thing about this is it does have those thicker fans. It's got the thicker radiator. So you got a little more surface area on those radiator fins. You got a fan that can push and provide a little more air pressure through that thicker radiator for better heat transfer. So, you're paying the ROG tax with this. Absolutely.
Yeah. But like I said, I did like it. It is just expensive, but again, I think you are getting a good amount of value out of it. The only cons is, like I said, the price, and then Ryan, you've talked about this too. The fans were not pre-installed. Mm-hmm. So some of the other AIOs that you've reviewed and a lot of the new ones that you're going to get these days do have the fans pre-installed. So they're not pre-installed. Right. That's the only thing. But overall, a really great cooler. Check out my review. I didn't do as good a job as Ryan because that's, you know, Ryan's really good at the AIOs, but I did my best Ryan impression there. So then we'll move on to the best case mods of 2024. This is my opinion.
Yeah, you chose these.
Yeah, I chose these. So if you're not a fan, you should be a fan because some of these are amazing. And I always try to like pick different ones, and I pick them for different reasons, not just how cool they look or something like that. If you guys didn't know, if this is like your first time listening to the podcast, every Friday we feature a case mod or build in the community, and we feature it on the website. It's called Case Mod Friday. If you go to the website, let's bring this up here. So if you go to the website and you go to articles, Case Mod Friday, there's a whole section, and you can like essentially scroll forever because we've been doing this forever. So we feature one every Friday, and our compilation of the best case mods is from just ones we've compiled throughout 2024. That's what this compilation is. It's in no particular order. So let's just go through it. So we have AK Mods Zero Gravity. This was done on the Sinister Cases minimalist chassis, which has all these different sections. And it provides, and it's one piece, I think, of aluminum that, like, the base is one piece of aluminum that holds everything up. And I just thought this was super, super cool. Everything goes together so well. It looks like, what do you think this looks like?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it looks like. I love the use of the white tubing. I like the, like, individual radiators.
Yeah, I thought that was from really, each other. Really cool.
I think that's cool.
And to use soft tubing, not hard tubing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think, like, I'm pretty sure it's not, like, sleeved or anything. It's just like really glossy white, which I think looks really awesome for this build.
Yeah.
The blue color is nice. The little LCD up top is cool. Yeah, I think this one's very cool.
Yeah, just a super cool build.
I mean, it's not like your standard layout, right? You're not like cool air into the front and hot out the back and the top. It's components are everywhere and it looks good.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. So shout out to AK Mod for that one. After that, we have Mark's Fabrication Sentinel Cipher. And this looks like something out of a movie. It is so interesting that it looks like a console out of a movie.
It does. It looks exactly like and I love like the RAM is sticking out the top. Kind of looks like some sort of a heat sink, you know, for the device itself. Everything looks weathered nicely, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, like even the keyboard is, like
seen some use, right?
Yeah, super, super cool. This was one of my favorite ones. I just thought it was incredibly unique and different. And there's a PC behind the screen, and the screen actually comes out, pulls out to see the PC behind it, which is pretty cool. So, and we do have links to all of these if you want to see that. So the next one is the Billet Labs Toaster, and this is different than a lot of the other ones that I featured. It's not necessarily super flashy, and I have a picture of the inside. Let's go to the actual page for it. But Billet Labs was able to put a RTX 4090 and a 14900K into a 13-liter chassis, which is very, very small. And even if you achieve that, they were able to water cool all of it. So here's what
and not just regular water cooling either.
Yeah.
It was copper tubing, like pipes and solder and.
Yeah. So this is what like this little machine looks like. It's just like a feat of engineering. And I thought it was just super, super cool. Like it just looks awesome. And the fact that again, in a 13-liter chassis, and we have the video if you want to check it out as well, but it's just awesome. So definitely check that one out. We couldn't do the year best case mods without featuring one of Stewart's builds from GGF. This is his 14900KS launch build, And this is the Singularity case, which just the case just makes this awesome. Like the case has all of this cool stuff built into it, built in reservoirs and all that stuff, which is great. But he took it even further with one of my favorite things, the frosted tubing that you see here, the screen that's showing all your data in real time right here, which looks great. I love the colors on this. It just goes together so, so well. And it's just an ultra, ultra sleek build from GGF. So really like that one. We have Minibot PC, and we had a couple from him, and this is the one that I picked for my favorite, because he had a couple that were like in the running here. This one is just like the first one we featured. It's individual radiators that are kind of like all over the place. And this looks like something like a mix between like a engine and
it's almost transformer.
And just like that first one, like here is more soft tubing being used. This thing just looks like mean, like it's gonna transform and shoot something at you.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it looks like.
I like the sleeving on those tubes and the quick release fittings on there. Very cool. I like, again, the split radiators and fans.
And this has the block mm-hmm. that has the connections on the back too, so you don't really see it. So
yeah, and then there's two reservoirs and pumps at the back too, if I'm not mistaken.
This thing looks
it's great. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, so check out this whole list that we have here. If and if you want to check out any of them, we have links to everything. So definitely go ahead and do that. Moving on. So previously, AMD called their graphics cards the 7700 XT. What was their 7970 XT?
XTX and
XTX, but it was 7970. So, you know, we knew kind of what it was. Mm-hmm. Now they're changing their naming for their graphics cards. Not dramatically. So one, their upcoming series is going to be the Radeon RX 9000 series. So you would think for the high end, it would be like the 9790 XT or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or something. But they're changing that up and they're calling their high end card the 9070 XT, which sounds a little bit like NVIDIA.
Yeah. I feel like you're,
But the 9070 XT, we know AMD doesn't go to that super, super high end where it comes to like where they're competing against a 4090 or 5090. So that's going to compete against the RTX 4080. And then it's going to go down the line. Like you're going to get a 9070 XT, a 9070, 9060, 9050. Just why?
Right. Why change it up?
This was found in a this screenshot from, I believe, I'm not sure what this is from, but this is how it was found. And they're there, 9070 XT, 9070, you know. I just don't get it. And again, I feel like it does confuse the customer a little bit, you know.
Right. Especially if you are ending up with those designations that are so similar to, like, we know what a 4070 is, or a 3070 or upcoming 5070, right? So like when you put a 70 there and the 70 is your top of the line, people are going to think, well, the 70 on NVIDIA series, there's two more levels I can go up, right? Yeah. Where's the top level from AMD? It doesn't make sense.
It does not make any sense
to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Why
this, like, do 9700, 9800, you know, whatever you need to do, but don't make it so similar to
do you think they made it similar so customers are confused and they buy AMD instead of NVIDIA?
I don't know.
Yeah, and the thing is, if somebody's looking at a 5070 and they see the 9070, the 9070 is going to be probably more expensive because it's positioned to go against the 4080 price wise. So they should be around, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just weird. It's just very odd.
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan of the name change. No. Now, one thing that isn't changing about the new Radeon RX 9000 series is that it should feature normal PCI Express power connections. So no 12VH PWR power connections or anything like that. Or the 12V2x6, that's what they're calling it now. What do you think of this? Do you think, like, I know last generation, it made sense, especially with all the issues, but like, and again, they're not having a super high-end card that needs, like, you're not going to need, unless it's a crazy overclocked 9070 XT, you're not going to need more than three, right?
Yeah. I don't mind it necessarily. I think there's still a lot of people out there with quote-unquote legacy power supplies that don't have that new connector, especially the 2x6, right? People that have had older generations of GPUs that can still upgrade to a current generation or next generation card without having to swap out a power supply. So I think there's a market for it for sure.
Do you think the following generation they'll make?
Yeah, I think at some point they will most likely have to. Whether that's for wattage necessity or just, right, the power supply companies are going to at some point keep pushing towards more and more units having that connector, older units aging out and having to be replaced. And if you don't have a GPU that supports that new standard, well, that's where we end up with adapters, and we know how that goes or can go.
Burning cards.
Yeah. Melting plastic.
Yeah. So some specs have been leaked for the 9070 XT, which again will be the flagship for the Radeon 9000 series. The first bit of information is that it's going to boost up to 3.1 gigahertz in board power up to 330 watts. Expected to have 16 gigabytes of GDDR6, so no GDDR7 here, at least according to this leak. And I think, again, that's a availability thing with GDDR7 being so new. Price between $600 and $649. Official launch, CES 2025, so next week.
Okay, it's going to be a busy week.
There's a lot. There's a lot. Oh
my gosh.
And it said performance within 5% of NVIDIA's RTX 4080 in gaming tests. Now, again, that's the 4080. Again, we're expecting NVIDIA to launch or announce a 5080 next week as well. So
yeah, that stinks. But then again, look at the price of a 4080.
And again, we don't know pricing of what a 5080 would be.
We don't.
Yeah. So,
but we know what pricing of a 4080 is, and we know what the expected pricing of this is, and this looks pretty compelling.
Do you think that NVIDIA would drop that price? Because they're still going to sell the 4080.
Not to that level.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
There's no way.
Yeah.
That's like in half.
And then the 9070 XT benchmarks did leak. And it's pretty interesting because it's only slightly better than a 7900 GRE, which is the Golden Rabbit edition, which I reviewed. So it's not that super high level. It's all, and again, this is an early, performance leak that we saw in 3DMark TimeSpy, but it's like 2% better than the RX 7900 GRE. So it's not necessarily a top tier.
We'll have some driver optimizations,
I would hope. But these early leaks, we never know, but that doesn't really bode too well or get people all that excited. But moving on to NVIDIA, because that's what we're expecting CES to be all about, is the RTX 50 series. Now this I found interesting. I found this very interesting, is that it's expected that NVIDIA will launch an RTX 5080 first. Like, I believe they're going to announce all four cards, the 5090, 5080, 5070 Ti, and 5070, all at CES. That's my guess in my head. But as far as release schedule, apparently, according to this leak, the 5080 would come first. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that there's some issue with the 5090, like a driver issue or something that they need to figure out?
Availability. But even then, like the card is still not, it's not launching at, I mean, it's launching, it's not available at CES, right? Like, yeah. I think we have a story maybe coming up as to when it's available, right? But,
They've always done it either lower card to higher card or higher card to lower card. We've never seen a card, like we've never seen them launch in the middle. And maybe they're doing this because AMD is launching the 9070 XT. It's supposed to have a certain amount of performance and they need to launch this and be like, hey, don't buy that, buy the 5080.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very,
this
is a rumor. This is not, obviously we don't have confirmation of this, but it's pretty interesting if this is, because it would be the first time, at least that I can recall, that they launch they launch middle of the stack instead of either top or bottom of the product stack. So
maybe 5090 performance isn't what they were hoping for, and they don't want to like sour the product line by coming out with a card that's less than what everybody's expecting, and then,
or they price the 5090 just crazy high. It's like $2,500, and then pretty interesting. Like I said, we'll see what happens there. So we have pictures of the actual PCB of the 5090. I'll show you what that looks like. So this is the picture of the 5090. PCB, and this confirms the 16 chip memory design. So it confirms the 16 chip memory design, as well as the single 16 pin power connector for up to 600 watts. So we get all that from looking at the PCB here. Just after the PCB was revealed, we got a picture of the entire ASIC leaked as well. So everything is just coming out on this card. So this is what it actually looks like. Now you can see all of those memory chips there. You can see all of the power design, which we're going to get into, but this is the GB202-300A1. But it's kind of interesting because it's the GB202-300A1. Usually when NVIDIA releases a top-end card, like a 4090, that was the 202-450. It's always the -450 is the card for like the 90 series. This is the -300, which possibly means that not all streaming multiprocessors on the chip are enabled. Which does that mean we're gonna get a Titan?
Exactly. Who knows? Maybe.
Is it time now? Are we at, you know, we're out of the sort of tech recession from the pandemic, and now we're ready to go and get a Titan out there?
I don't know. I mean, 4090 is so powerful, going to be, or 5090 is going to be so powerful anyways. Like,
yeah. 512 bit memory bus, GDDR7X, 32 gigabytes.
That is a busy PCB. Like, there's so many components there needing cooled, and
there's a lot going on. And talk about like components being cooled and everything like that. We can see, like, because of this leak right here that we can see that it's going to get a 16+6+7 power design in a 14 layer PCB. So typically, like, the reference card had like, I don't know, like a 8-10 layer PCB. And then like a high-end card, like a Strix card from Asus, would have like a 12 layer PCB. This has a 14 layer PCB on it, which means, like Ryan said, there's a lot going on with this, you know, and yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's gonna be a very powerful card, I think.
Yeah,
And if you compare the 4090 had a 20+3 power phase design, this has a 16+6+7. So yeah, interesting. I think we're gonna see some behemoths, like the card, like the cards are gonna be. We thought 4090 was big. I mean, this is gonna be big. Well, although we'll have to see how efficiency goes. Maybe they don't need to be as big because the cooling solutions don't need to be as big, but that's where we're gonna have to see when all that
four comes. Slot GPUs.
Old man in the chat said Linus says he's gonna buy a 5090 since he skipped 40 series in his personal rig. Yeah, I mean, like I said, for most people it's complete overkill. It all depends on obviously what you currently have, but I think for most applications, it is going to be pretty overkill unless you have a specific need for that much memory and that much GPU power.
And you got a monitor that can, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to push all of that. We also got the final specs, or supposed, again, this is all leak and rumor. Final specs for the RTX 5070 and 5070 Ti. Just real quick, the 5070 Ti... 16 gigabytes of GDDR7, 8,960 CUDA cores, and a TDP of 300 watts. The RTX 5070, 12 gigabytes of GDDR7. So again, we're not going to see it, at least down to the 5070. We're not going to see a delimiter like, oh, the 5090 and 5080 have GDDR7. The 5070s down have GDDR6. Maybe we'll see that delimiter at the 5060. Possibly, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But 12 gigabytes, 6,144 CUDA cores, and a TDP of 250 watts. So yeah, interesting to see that. For the 5070 Ti, if we compare it to the 4070 Ti, 15 watt increase when it comes to power. Now, the interesting thing is the 5070 is going to get a 50 watt increase. So that might be the performance card this time around. A lot of people might be wanting to go ahead and get there. So pretty much have everything you kind of need and want to know beyond price. We don't know price on these cards just yet. But what do you think? Do you think we will see the 5080 launch first, or will it be the 5090? And what is your prediction for price on the 5090?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I think we will see the 5090 first. Available.
Like, available first? Okay.
Available first, yep. Price-wise, like, I hate to see it at, like, $2,300. So I'm hoping for, like, $2,100.
Really? So we're going to go from, what, $16.99 or $16.49?
Is that what it is? I thought it was high. I thought they were higher than that. So okay, maybe I'm still sick and not thinking right.
Yeah, I think because like it was like 16.
That felt heavy.
Yeah, it was $15.99 for the 4090. So what do you think the price will be?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was 1700 to 1800.
Okay. My guess is 1649. And I think NVIDIA they're going to make the gamer happy this time around, at least price-wise. That's my guess. Could be completely wrong. I would love to see it at 1649. Maybe 1749. I'm at 1649. That's what I'm going to say. But we'll see. Old man in the chat said, if you have to ask for the price, you can't afford it. So, and pseudoscientist said the 4090 sold for $2,000 for over a year. Yeah, that was just a
availability
issue. It wasn't, you know, the MSRP was $1,599. And obviously like a Strix and other cards are going to be more expensive. Right. But that's it for graphics cards, but NVIDIA related, finally get to see a PCB of the Nintendo Switch.
Switch 2,
I mean. And as expected, it's powered by an NVIDIA chip, the Tegra T239. In these leaked photos that we have here of the chip and the device. So it looks like another win for NVIDIA on that front, because they're going to sell a ton of these, I would assume. Oh, yeah. Gives you an idea of kind of what the whole thing looks like.
Yeah, it's exciting. Like I was excited about it, thinking my son was gonna maybe want one of these. Not that he knows that there's a Switch 2 coming out or anything, but
yeah,
I think he's moving up to like higher end console, right? And I was considering like a current gen Xbox.
Yeah,
but then I was like, I don't know the release schedule on these things, so I didn't want to like commit to that gen. So I was excited about this one for a while, and now it's kind of like on the back burner for me. I'm like,
we probably
won't end up with one.
Yeah, I think they're going to sell a ton, so it's going to it's going to be a huge win for NVIDIA, just you know, providing all those chips. So I'm not big into, I never was big into the Switch or anything like that, but since it is powered by NVIDIA, we'll see if people can reverse engineer it and do some fun stuff with it maybe. But it has a lot more competition now too, with all the gaming handhelds that are available, and like price is going to be a massive factor with this as well, because you know, say your son, how old is he?
Yeah, he's 11.
He's 11. So like around that, he like, oh, maybe, and you know, maybe I want like a kind of low range gaming handheld. How much is the Switch 2 going to be? Is it comparable to like a first gen ROG Ally a couple years later or something like that?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So it'd be really interesting to see. But yeah, pretty interesting news there on the Switch 2. We have Skylar in the chat. Good to see you here. And Pseudoscientist says 2509 for a year, no competition. Yeah, I don't think they're not gonna have competition at that high end. NVIDIA's not.
Unfortunately. You
know, yeah. And people are gonna buy them up. They're gonna
sell.
Yeah. Like, especially because again, GDDR7 is like there's not a whole lot. So I think all the cards, they're going to see scalpers, they're going to see stuff, at least especially on the higher end models, you're definitely going to see that. So so coming up next week, obviously the next time you see us on video, it'll be Ryan and I guess. And we're going to be in Vegas for Consumer Electronics Show. What are you expecting? I mean, we know we're going to see RTX 50 series. We know we're going to see Radeon RX 9000 series.
Yep.
What else?
Last year felt like we saw a lot of new monitors.
Yeah.
I felt because there were some new panels that came out, right? We saw some dual refresh rate type monitors. We saw a lot of OLED. So yeah, besides, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of those companies we talk to are going to be showing off GPUs, obviously. I don't know.
I'm kind of excited to see some of the new laptops, because you're going to have the Ryzen AI models. You're going to have other ones. You're going to see a lot of that. So I think that should be interesting.
I mean, I'm always excited to see new cases coming out.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that goes on the back burner is the cases, because we not a whole lot of companies like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think, what else do I want to see at CES?
I mean, I don't think we have any new, like, I'm sure we'll see some, but like new SSDs, right? Gen 6 isn't out or anything like that, right? So we're not going to see any like super advancements of at least products that are going to be available anytime soon, I don't think, right?
I am excited for mobile gaming consoles, just for the fact that like, everybody's making them now, and the tech's getting better. And again, you're having new chips come out for those as well. So that'd be kind of cool. There's going to be some interesting laptops. I've gotten some like pre-embargoed stuff that I can't talk about, but they're pretty cool. Pretty cool laptops there too. So That's kind of what I'm expecting. I'm just excited. I'm so excited to see you, Ryan. I haven't seen you since last year or so. You know? Yeah. Hopefully you're feeling better and we'll have a good week. And
yeah, that's the plan, is to get healthy, get out there, get some work done, see some new gear.
Old man in the chat said he bought an Epo Maker Brick 87 mechanical keyboard. It's on Amazon. It's $20. That's cheap.
I told him he's probably got to have more keyboards than you do now.
He probably does, because I got rid of a bunch of mine when I moved. So he probably has more keyboards. Let's take a look at this keyboard.
It's the one that has like the Lego stuff on it as well, I think.
Oh, really? I have that one. But mine's the full size. Let's see. Oops. It's not coming up. Oh, it's showing $40 for me.
Yeah, it showed $40 for me as well.
Oh, he must have got a good deal if he got it for $20.
Well, I guess I looked it up on their website. Yeah, their website's showing like $44.55.
Yeah, it's showing $39.99 for me on Amazon. But that's a cool looking keyboard. And for $20, I think old man just finds like the best keyboard deals, and he's just like,
bye.
But I feel like I said, he has more keyboards than me for sure.
He said different variations are $20.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, so talking about 2025, I mean, obviously we have CES, which is all, but like a lot of people are saying, I saw it all over Twitter and X, GTA 6 is going to come out in 2025. Do you think?
Wasn't it supposed to be 2026 though?
That's what I heard, but I don't know. I feel like we're gonna get. It's gonna get into like fall, and then it's just gonna be like
they're just gonna drop it on us.
That would be the best.
That'd be cool.
That would be the best Christmas present.
Oh yeah,
because you have to think that. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. I honestly don't think it matters, because like typically you would see a launch
when they release it.
Yeah, I don't think it matters, because it's gonna be the most.
It doesn't matter.
Anticipated game. In a decade, probably. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to come out in 2025?
No.
Okay. Nah.
If anything, it'll be delayed past what they've said.
I can see that. Do you think it's going to come out in 2026, or do you think it's going to go past that?
Oh, man, I hope not. But no, I think 2026 is a safe bet.
Okay.
I don't know when, but
I would love to see it come out in 2025. I would just be
Everybody would, as long as it's a good game.
That's the biggest thing too, is like you have game that you have to, you know.
And they had to do that with GTA 5 too, right? Like GTA 4 was great, and they came out and brought GTA 5, which is even better.
Yeah. So. Be interesting to see what happens with that if we do see it this year. Moving on from that, that's what we have coming up next week. So no reviews or anything next week. Obviously it's going to be all CES. Definitely, if you're not following us on socials, on X, Threads, Facebook, all that stuff, make sure you're following us. And obviously we'll be putting out YouTube videos. Shorts on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. So just there'll be a ton of content next week. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. Ryan, you got yourself a Christmas present.
I did.
You got about
a 3D printer. Yeah, I ordered it. Ended up ordering it last week, like a couple days before Christmas, and it showed up today. And I ended up with the Bamboo Labs P1S, which is an enclosed, I guess I could have brought it up, I didn't bring it up. Yeah, Bamboo Labs P1S. So it's an enclosed printer. It's my second 3D printer. I've had this Monoprice for a long time. I bought it in like 2016, I think. And it was like small and like $150 at the most, I think. And, you know, I did a little bit of printing with it. Now, I did not buy it with the AMS on top. So you see the four colors up top there. I did not buy that yet. I bought the one, yeah. So that's what I ended up with. I will probably end up with the AMS, but I wanted to. The discount to get it all at once was only like $50. So I figured I'd just start with this. But yeah, it showed up today. And yeah, excited to use it. Nice. I did a Benchy print on it that took like 19 minutes, which is crazy because I think that same print on my old printer would take like 2 hours or something.
So these are getting better. I don't follow.
Oh, it's so printers it's at so all. Fast. It's crazy.
Yeah. So like, yeah, because I remember that was the biggest thing. Like, especially when like 3D printers became like pretty popular, it was just the time that they took. Right.
Yeah. No, they've improved things a ton. I mean, it printed fast and it looked good. Like, it's wild. So
nice.
Cool. Really excited to use it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Anything else tech related?
Nope.
Nothing. Well, I also got myself a Christmas present.
You did. Yeah. It's just a little bigger, a little more expensive.
But
not crazy expensive, right? You got a better deal?
I got a really good deal. So I got a new car. I got an EV. I wasn't even thinking about getting an EV, but the price was just right. Because they're giving, especially California gives such a big tax credit discount, all that kind of stuff for EVs. So I got a Honda Prologue, which is technically not a Honda, but it's the first EV. It's Honda's first EV.
Oh, you clicked the sponsored link. Jeez.
Sponsored link? Oh, is that what I did? Yeah. But this is what it's an SUV, and I've never really been an SUV guy, but it's super, super comfortable to drive in. And being all electric is kind of interesting, something I've never really done at all before. So, but it has some pretty cool tech in it as well. It has a complete 360 camera, which is amazing.
Yeah, I watched your video and you were showing like parking and how it'll show everything. And then that you had a view of like the 360 down. It's like, how do these cameras?
What's it's a 360 like, camera.
Does a pole come out of the top and it shows you the view? It's wild how good it looks.
No, it's so good because one, I'm not used to driving a bigger vehicle like this. So having the 360 camera really helps. I got an insane deal on this and I was just like, yeah, it'd be kind of fun. And I did make a video. It is linked in the show notes if you guys want to check it out on my second YouTube channel. But I was like, oh, this would be kind of cool to like do some videos on and, you know, just see what this whole charging thing. And I'm in like Southern California, so it's not like chargers are hard to come by around here.
Right, right.
And
yours is kind of like that one at the bottom there, right? That kind of bluish gray color.
Yeah, so I have this color right here, which is right. it's called Sonic Gray.
And you got the Elite, right?
So they gave me
top
this
end.
Yeah, I have the most tricked out one you can get, which I didn't even necessarily
want. It's loaded. Like, I watched that whole video, and it's got everything you can want.
It has everything. It's kind of nice because, like I said, it will be really interesting because I drive from San Diego to Las Vegas for CES. It's, like, typically, like, a five and a half hour drive. But I'm be doing it in an EV, and I need to stop and charge, so I'll be, like, letting you guys know how that goes. Cause I've never, you know, if you have an EV and you're just driving around town or whatever, it's not all that hard. The charging's not like a big deal, especially if you have like charger at your work or at your house or whatever, but long-term, like your car will shut off obviously if it doesn't have enough power. So you need to stop and charge. And obviously charging times are longer. So we'll see how that goes. Right. Maybe I won't show up for CES. I'll just be stranded in the middle of the desert.
I hope not.
No,
I think one thing that would, like, in the future, if they could figure out a way to have universal type batteries where you could pull up to a charging station that's probably manned or you'd have to do something and you could swap out a battery and slide the new one in and go, right? Like,
yeah,
kind of like propane tanks, right? You get your little blue rhino or whatever and you got your propane and then you just go swap it out. You don't actually own the battery. Right. Or if you have a travel one that allowed you to do something like that. So you didn't have to stop for as long.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is like, I just think the battery tech's going to keep on getting better.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And then the ranges are going to get better. So mine has a 200 and I think it's because mine's the Elite and the Elite has dual motors. It's not just a single motor. I think it's only like 276 or something like that, or 278. So that's you know, 278 miles is, if you're doing a long road trip, you have to stop, you know. So, but yeah, Ryan, you'll get to check it out. I'll be dropping you around CES. So that's
right.
be kind of interesting there. Skylar asks, how are you enjoying the drive experience? Do you feel like you missed your car at all? I mean, no. I mean, I was in a Honda Civic previously, so going to an SUV is going to be completely different. It's going to be a smoother drive overall. I do like all the tech that's in this compared to my Civic. It has a heads-up display on the windshield. Like, it has every sensor known to man. Like, if you crash this car, you're an idiot. Like there's sensors everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. I especially for like CES and other road trips, it is nice to have more space as well. Yeah, so I definitely like it. And it's just like it's newer tech, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. The driving experience, it's smooth again because it's a much larger car. It goes fast though. Like it's not like people think of BBs. This thing goes fast. Like if you floor it, it goes no problem.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of cool. So, old man said Hertz is having a fire sale and use Teslas. Yeah, I've been seeing that. But the biggest thing, especially, I mean, cars in general, but the Teslas, like the residual value just crashed over the past year or something like that. Because I was looking at Teslas, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get one, but I couldn't pass up the deal that I got on this. So,
no, you get a great deal on it.
Yeah. So yeah, Ryan, when are you going to go to the electric car route?
Nah. I mean, there's free charging at work, so that'd be cool, but nah, not yet.
Yeah, I think, like I said, this just kind of came along and it was a great deal. And
well, like the driving that you do, like I think a lot of yours is around your area, right? And so is mine. Like in all seriousness, like I do a lot of local driving, so I would be just fine with it, right?
Yeah.
If one of our vehicles was electric and the other gas, we'd have no issue. And I think for you,
yeah, I think that's the thing is like, obviously I work from home. I'm just driving around in my area, maybe like 1 to 3 big road trips a year.
Right.
It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? So yeah, it just made sense, I guess. So yeah, I'll keep you guys updated on how things go. And obviously, if I make it to Vegas, drive in from San Diego in it. So, but yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun to learn all that stuff and all of that. So, but that is it. We are not doing a gaming night tonight, so we will not be on Twitch after this. Like I said, Ryan's feeling under the weather. I need to start packing for Vegas and do all that. And I'm sure Ryan does too. So no podcast next week. Next week is all CES content. The following week, we will have a big like CES wrap-up show. That will be, as we expect, and as long as none of us are like sick after CES, which is always a possibility. But that will be Wednesday, the
15th,
That will be the next podcast. So thanks everybody for coming out, for this one, old man, pseudoscientist, Ryan, Corey, Skylar, everybody in the live chats. And of course, everybody that listens later, and we'll see you guys next video.